Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
New England sending QB Jimmy Garoppolo to 49ers.
We believe we found the right guy.
Garoppolo, quick pass, caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers. Kittle is gonna go. Touchdown.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. This week's episode is sponsored by betonline.ag and Blue Chew. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for NinersNation.com. And joining me tonight, returning, making his triumphant return after a trip back and forth from Arkansas, is Eric Crocker, former NFL defensive back and my all-around great guy co-host. How you doing, man?
Howdy. I'm doing.
You're already picking up your southern stuff.
How you doing?
Straight up, howdy.
You gotta hear their accents, man. Like, it's so funny. And like, the deeper you get into the country, and there's some country people in Arkansas, man. It's just the way they talk. They're instantly like, you're not from around here, are you? Like, no, I'm from California.
You got that down pretty good, though, dude. That sounds pretty legit. Yeah.
Well, I was around it for a couple years in college, so I'm familiar right. with it, but I still, you know, it took me going back to kind of refresh my memory. So,
you know what's kind of funny, too, is I have an accent story. I went to basic training in Fort Knox, Kentucky, which is, you know, I you would probably qualify as a South. It's getting pretty close. And everybody there, I mean, I was like the California kid. Like, most of the people there, vast majority of people there, were from like the East Coast and from the South. And what was funny is I did my, you know, whatever it was, 2.5 months there. And when I got home, my whole family was like, you have a little bit of an accent. And I didn't even realize it, like, spending 2.5 months with people that talk with an accent, like, it like rubbed off on me and I didn't even realize it. And I'm getting home, like, you know, doing shit, saying shit like y'all that I never used to say and stuff like that. Like, it was pretty amazing how quickly that stuck with me. And I'm sure if I like moved to the South, it would a lot of the same stuff would happen. It was really funny to get home. They kind of like, I mean, everybody gave me a hug, and like on the car ride home, everybody was kind of looking at me when we were talking. They're like, you kind of sound like you got a little bit of South in you. I was like, that's weird. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm more worried about my daughter. You know, I got a daughter. She's about to be 4 at the end of this month. And she's the one that can kind of pick up that accent. Like, she's the one that's most likely to pick it up after being there for, you know, 2 years, you know, she's kind of the one that could possibly pick that up. So I'm interested to see if she comes back home with an accent, a little baby accent.
Well, I mean, she's going to be there with you when you guys are there for like your 2+ years or whatever. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's during that age too, when you're like super developing your ability to speak, you know, English, that could be interesting. it could stick around for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be funny.
Well, okay. So those of you that don't know, explain what you got going right now. Like, obviously you don't have to talk about it forever, but explain what you got going on right now, what's on the future and what you're in the process of doing. Cause I'm sure people listening to us have no idea why you would travel back and forth from Arkansas.
Yeah. So, I went to University of Arkansas Monticello, out of junior college. I had to go to a Division II because my grades were kind of terrible. So I went to a Division II school. Well, I left early to go play pro ball. You know, I had a, I didn't have an NFL contract or I wasn't going to get drafted, but the middle of my senior year was coming up and I had a contract offer to go play in Arena One. So I was really excited about that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to jump on this opportunity. So me being kind of stupid, I kind of took my foot off the gas a little bit. And I ended up basically dropped, like after football season ended, I pretty much dropped like dang near all my classes for you know, the fall semester of my senior year. So not even really thinking about the ramifications of it. I ended up, you know, I went, I played pro ball for, you know, a bunch of years or whatnot. And afterwards, it's like, well, now I'm in the real world. What do I do? So, you know, I started getting little jobs where I would, you know, where I'm still working like in the educational system and stuff in Stock Unified. And I had a great time doing it. But, you know, I'm talking to the PE teacher and she's like, well, yeah, you know, Stock Unified, they pay this much and this is the pay grade. I'm like, what? Like, so you've been, you know, teaching for 10 years or it was like 11 years. And you have, you know, your master's and this and your credentials. So, you know, you're making over $80,000 a year to do PE. All you do is roll the ball out to them. And she was like, yeah, so hurry up and get your degree. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I need to do that. So I decided to go back, but I had to figure out a way. And you guys are pretty, most of you guys listeners are probably 49er fans. So you guys are familiar with, you know, these high ass prices, right? It's expensive to live in California. And I had to make a decision because my wife, who is an LVN going to be an RN nurse, she's coming up on that. And while she was there, she's like, well, I don't want to work. I want to focus on that. I was like, well, how am I supposed to keep a family afloat in California in these expensive prices to live, you know, just the cost of living in general, when, you know, that's dang near impossible. So I started thinking of a plan. I called up my college and asked, you know, hey, if I come and do this, will you guys help me pay for my schooling and everything? And they were like, sure. And I was like, well, my wife, she also needs to come and she wants to be in the RN. They're like, great. We got one of the top nursing programs in the state of Arkansas. We'll waive half of her tuition, waive her out-of-state fees and, you know, pay you this much a month. And I'm like, great. You know, so it was just a all-around great situation. And we saved up enough money, more than enough money to pay for our housing for over 2 years there. I mean, it's so cheap to live. And yeah, we're just like perfect in that, you know, from a financial standpoint, we're great going out there, being able to take care of me, get my degree, her, get her stuff. You know, I can work on getting my credentials and come back and we'll be in a much, much better place. Now there's still some changes, like, you know, she'll have to do like her little state board thing. And, you know, when she comes back to California, because I don't know, California has like strict nursing rules and whatnot, but for the most part, we'll be in a much better, position career wise than when we left, which she's doing fine money-wise because even as an LVN, she makes good money, but it's still not RN money. So, yeah.
Damn, man. Just getting out there and doing something for yourself.
Yeah, you know, it just took a little long. You know, it took a little while for me to be like, okay, I need to go do this. Because, you know, the toughest thing is I'm not far from having my degree. And in California, like, if I were to just be like, oh, well, I just want to transfer to, like, Stanislaus State or, you know, Fresno State, or, you know, just a state school, San Jose State, whatever. They don't take all of my credits, all of my college, everything's not transferable. So for me being a year away from having my degree, I'd end up down there being like a JUCO transfer again and having to do 2 years because so much stuff doesn't transfer over. So that was something I was going to run into.
Right. Yeah. That's a huge dance here is people trying to do, you know, as much as they can do at the city college level and then transfer over to state and everything that state does take and doesn't take and all that stuff. It's a big dance. That's what my girlfriend had to do with her engineering degree. And it's really weird. Like you would think that the two like community and state levels, like really communicated about what needed to be taken at what level. And they really like don't. Right. So it can be really frustrating, but one more thing. I'm not trying to keep you on the spot all episode, but what happened with Crocker Report since you were last on here?
Oh, yeah. So, that thing. So I launched the Crocker Report. You guys can go to that crockerreport.com. And right now we've been like, you know, pushing out articles and stuff like that, you know, still working out little things with the website and whatnot. There are definitely still some things I'm going to be adding. So there's going to be like a subscription type thing you can sign up for with YouTube videos on, you know, technique, different breakdowns and stuff like that. All kind of cool, fun stuff I'll be adding to it. But, you know, as of right now, man, it's been awesome, man. Like, it's a lot of work, obviously, you know, kind of like running your own website and kind of being over, making sure that people are doing this and doing that, writing the articles, have to make sure it gets through to the editors before I publish it. And, you know, just all these different things, man. But it's been great, man. We're pushing out content. I think I have some excellent writers that are going to continue to grow. We're all, you know, kind of learning to have an eye for, you know, talent and evaluating it. And I mean, it's going to go to some really high level stuff, man. It's going to take a little bit of time, but as of right now, man, I launched a website and I have a ton of fun with it, man. It's pretty awesome. So make sure you guys go check it out, CrockerReport.com.
Yeah, dude, I want to give you a chance to plug that because it's freaking awesome. And one of the first things I thought of is, man, Crocker's going to get slapped in the face with how much work that is. But, you know, like managing all those people that all want to write something for you. And, you know, and then you got to have somebody. Didn't you say you found somebody to edit it all for you, or are you doing all the editing?
Yeah, no. What, me? Oh, no, I can definitely not doing any editing. Yeah, no, I have an editor, Steve. He also is like the main editor for, I want to say the Hub. Is it the Hub or I can't think of
what the 49ers Hub?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he's like really good. Like he's really professional with it. And then I have a couple other editors. But the issue is guys want to put their content out and then I forget to say, hey, did anybody edit this? And then I end up publishing something that hasn't been edited yet. So I had to make sure I don't do that. I can't get too excited to put out articles, but overall, man, yeah, they do an awesome job. And I've had a lot of fun with it. The toughest thing is when I launched it. It's like I launched it at a time where I was in the middle of traveling across the United States. And I didn't know that the timing was going to work out like that. So it was like I have all these guys trying to get articles out. And it's like I have no reception because I'm on the road. Then I get to Arkansas. My reception is terrible. I try to use my phone as a hotspot. I have no service. I had to wait for them to set up my Wi-Fi. It was just like, oh, my gosh, so much behind the scenes. But we got it up. We got it working. We got articles posted. Make sure you guys check it out.
Well, cool, man. That's pretty freaking cool. And your Crocker Report logo is pretty sweet, too.
Oh, man. You know, I had this cool guy created for me, and he did an amazing job. He did an amazing job.
Patting myself on the back here, folks, if you hadn't caught on to that already. But
Rob but yeah, my logo, he did a great job with that.
Yeah, it was nothing. It's cool, it's easy to create stuff like that when like you're like interested in it or you have a passion about it or something like that. But if like somebody came along and asked me to create a logo for like, I don't know, a nail salon or something, I'd probably struggle, right? You know, because that ain't my wheelhouse. But anyway, so all right, so I suppose this is a 49ers podcast, and we haven't talked about 49ers whatsoever, and I'm sure by this point you're already tired of hearing from Eric Crocker and his personal stuff that really isn't important to you whatsoever, and you probably just went and did something else while he talked just now, and I wouldn't blame you. I mean, who cares? But I'm just kidding. Anyways, so kind of just some of the obviously we're in like the downtime of 49ers world. There's not a lot going on. Even if coronavirus weren't here, there wouldn't be much going on. I mean, they'd be doing their off-season program and stuff like that. But even then, there's usually not a lot to come out right now because, you know, I'm not sure on my timeline, but, you know, we wouldn't be hearing much about practices yet or any of that. So, you know, you never really know what to expect. So right now it's kind of the dark time, but coronavirus has made it even darker. So, and I don't mean dark as in dreary, obviously it's also that, but I just mean there's not a lot to talk about. But there are some headlines that we're going to kind of just briefly touch on, and then we will take a quick break, touch on our sponsors, and then when we come back, we will kind of just run through the offensive side of the 49ers roster, talk about anything interesting we see there, any little competitions that might get interesting in the offseason, and then next week, we'll do the defense. So, I guess the first, speaking of coronavirus, the first thing we should probably touch on is Gavin Newsom, the California governor, came out and said that he felt like, or he expected professional sports to be able to resume in a very limited capacity. I shouldn't say limited. I mean, it is limited, but it's in a very strict capacity starting in the beginning of June, which is great news for the 49ers. And I thought, you know, obviously that means the 49ers begin training camp in late July. So, you know, if the fact that they're going to, California is going to start figuring out how they want to incorporate professional sports in the beginning of June is good for the 49ers, because whatever kinks need to be worked out and whatever rules need to be established and then loosened or whatever, because obviously everybody's figuring out how to work their way through this at the same time, even city officials and government and stuff like that. So at least them saying that early June gives them plenty of almost 2 months to work out how it's going to look for the 49ers when it comes to training camp, how much the team is going to be able to do, how many people are going to be allowed to be on the field at once. Who knows what it's going to look like? We'll see. Because obviously for that to, it's incredibly fragile. The prospect, you have to realize that right out the gate. The prospect of holding training camp is going to be very fragile. Like one teammate, I mean, this is football. Dudes are running into each other and hugging each other all the time. One teammate tests positive and the whole thing probably falls apart. Right. You know, and because it doesn't necessarily mean that practices are going to stop, but they're going to have to retest everybody else. You know, that person's not going to be able – I mean, imagine if Jimmy Garoppolo got it. So he can't come to practice. He's got a quarantine. He's got 2 weeks gone. 2 weeks in training camp is like a lifetime. He, you know, the entire team has to be tested, probably coaching. You know what I mean? So it's going to be wild how they handle this. And it's all just conjecture. It's all just, you know, forecasting. I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. You know, it's going to be crazy. So the idea that California, who has been one of the more strict, if not the one of the strictest states in the country when it comes to handling coronavirus and restrictions, for them to come out and say that is good news for the 49ers. The little highlight for me when it comes to this whole news cycle was Richard Sherman just straight up calling out the state on Twitter. He basically said once teams started talking about other states as far as taking their practices and their games elsewhere, all of a sudden California became a lot more open to the idea of professional sports, because California is already losing an insane amount of money from all this. They're already talking about all the crazy budget cuts. It's just funny that, you know, the headlines start to come out. Okay, 49ers might move to this state and practice. They can go to Arizona, whatever, what have you. And then all of a sudden, you know, the restrictions are going to get loosened. Right. So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. It's just money, you know. Obviously, the state makes a lot of money from professional sports. California has a lot of professional sports teams, so it would behoove them, not necessarily health-wise, it could be the wrong decision when it comes to everybody's health, but it would behoove them financially to allow these teams to stay in the state, you know. So that's interesting, I guess. You got any thoughts on that, dude? I mean, what do you think?
Nah, you know, obviously, you know, we hope that there's something that gets resolved sooner than later, you know, as football fans. But, you know, you want to make sure everybody's safe. And even more so than the actual athletes, you know, you don't know who they're going home to. So I think that's the bigger risk, right? You know, you have a player, say Jimmy Garoppolo, and he gets it, but it doesn't affect him. But he goes home to, you know, maybe a family member with a weaker immune system, and then that family member dies. That's the people that they're trying to protect, as well as the players, of course. But, yeah, you know, hopefully they figure out some type of solution, whether it's, hey, let's test everybody. Okay, if you test negative for this, we're keeping you in the hotel away from everyone, and you have to stay there until, you know, for however long or whatever. That's extreme, but I think that's the only way to kind of go about it right now. Because like you said, one person tests positive for it, it can have a big snowball effect on not just the 49ers, but the rest of the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be it's going to be weird. But like I said earlier, no one really knows expect.
With the NBA, was it JaVale McGee or whoever, or no, the big guy from Utah. He tested positive and it shut down the entire NBA.
Right. It basically shut down all professional sports. You know what I mean? Before that, I don't think anything had shut down.
Right.
and that was basically it. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this goes. And just judging by what they seem to know about the virus and stuff, like the odds are good that, I mean, there's 90 players on a roster and then another 50 coaches or whatever and staff members. People are going to get it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it gets handled. Another one of our little weekly storylines in the dreary 49ers newsland right now is Jerick McKinnon and Deebo Samuel. Well, okay. Crocker, you kind of touch on this because you know the Footwork King on Twitter. You kind of know him and what he's about. He posted a couple videos of Jerick McKinnon and Deebo Samuel today doing workouts. So give us your take on those.
Yeah, no, you know, it's cool to see them getting work in. You know, obviously, you know, running routes and everything like that. Yeah, I'm actually watching him right now. I'm watching Jerick McKinnon run routes and, you know, he looks good. It doesn't look like there's any hitch. That's what I was looking for. You know, is there any hitch in how he's running or any type of limp or anything like that? So I don't see that. So that's good. And, you know, even with Deebo Samuel, I watched him and, you know, it looks like he's working on some little short area cuts and things like that. It looks solid. It looks solid. I'm a big fan of Coach Dub. And I actually have an article coming out tomorrow morning about Coach Dub Williams. He's actually from my hometown, Stockton, California. But he trains a lot of guys. He trains Tariq Hill, Devontae Adams, Brandon Cooks, who's also from Stockton, you know, Kenny Stills, Ryan Grant, like just a bunch of receivers, Sammy Watkins. And I love what he does. So I hope guys like, you know, Deebo give a dub too. You know, it's good to work with Footwork King. I think he has a different little niche that he works with. But when it comes to, like, you know, just pure receiver route running, like, man, get with Dub. But they look good, McKinnon and Deebo, with what they're doing. It's good to see them working.
Yeah, and one of the things it reminded me of, and I tweeted about this, was Jerick McKinnon, man, if he's still to me, and we talked about this, I think it was the last time you were on here, we both were required to pick kind of like our X factor of the 49ers in 2020. And to me, man, he's still up there. I mean, I might be able to, if I look through the roster, be able to find somebody that might kind of be. And remember, an X factor is kind of like can go either way. Like, you know, you not really know what to expect type of deal. Usually it's used with more of like a positive sense in this, you know, this player could be an X factor because they could possibly be a huge contributor. But that's still kind of how the way I feel about Jerick McKinnon. Now, obviously his outlook this year is much different than it would have been 2 years ago when the 49ers signed him to that huge free agency contract. Because now he's playing for almost the vet minimum, or it might be exactly vet minimum. And, you know, he is in no way guaranteed a roster spot. He's 2 years removed from a torn ACL that's kind of had some complications. But I know the biggest thing that keeps me kind of coming back to him is I know that Kyle Shanahan has a very high opinion of him and his talents. And that's why the 49ers were willing to pay so much to get him in the first place. I believe there was stuff about him, about the 49ers kind of being in a bidding war for McKinnon and that they wanted him bad enough to outbid whoever they were bidding against. I want to say it was the Jets, but I don't remember, or that was at least the rumor. And I think he could be a huge, huge, huge contributor to the 49ers offense if he's healthy, and he looks healthy. He's moving good. You know, he's in that video, he looks like he's moving at 100%. And that's kind of what you want to hear from somebody who's that far removed from that injury. So I still think, you know, that Kyle Shanahan really, really, really wants to get Jerick McKinnon on the field and see if he can take advantage of his skill sets, because he's a genuine pass catching back, genuine. Like, he's a decent running back and he's a good, very good pass catching back. He runs routes like a receiver. He catches like a receiver. He's got confidence in his hands. So I'm really looking forward to see what he can do if everything goes well for him, because, you know, I tweeted that out too, is like, he's due for a comeback, man. That guy went through a rough 2 years that nowadays usually isn't involved when in recovering from a torn ACL. And so, you know, he's really never even stepped foot on the field for the 49ers in a regular season game. So that could be interesting. And related to that, you know, he was working out with Deebo Samuel, and Joe Staley recently told Chris Biederman, a good friend from the Sacramento Bee, that he kind of had a conversation with Deebo about, like, look, dude, you need to buckle down and work hard because you have the ability, or, you know, you could be like the best receiver in the NFL. Now, I wouldn't take that like to heart. You know, that's what any good teammate's going to tell somebody that they want to see grow and thrive. But It kind of brings up a good, you know, something, a good topic in the fact that like Deebo Samuel's stepping into next season and he's kind of expected to be the 49ers leading receiver. Now always keep in mind that the 49ers have a dude named George Kittle, who's kind of like their wide receiver one. Like he's their primary target, the guy that dominates, the guy that makes the big plays, the guy they go to when, you know, they have to convert a fourth and two on the road. But and when it comes to receivers, Deebo Samuel's supposed to be the guy this year. Like he's, you know, and we saw that out of him as last year turned on. So Crocker, what do you think? Give me like what you think the floor is for Deebo. Like what would you expect, like the least amount, like not obviously not, I'm not talking negative. I'm saying what would be like the least amount you'd expect to see from him in this year, and what, how far do you think he can go, and whether it's this year or next year, what do you see him kind of developing into down the road?
I think the least amount is what we saw last year. You know, a guy that, you know, was productive in some games where, you know, more than others, and other games where, you know, maybe he had two catches for 20 yards, you know. I think that's his floor, you know, an 800-yard type season. And, you know, considering him healthy. And remember, it kind of – I don't know why we don't really think about this a lot, but, he, you know, he did miss a game last year too. He only started 15 games. He only played 15 games. I think that's his floor in the 800-yard season. Now, his ceiling, I don't even want to say his ceiling, but what I think he can be this year, 100%, I feel like he can be – well, I don't want to say 100%, but I'm pretty confident that he can be a 1,000-yard receiver. And I think that the way that you're able to give him the ball and get him the ball in space, he's going to get a lot of yards after catch. Like, he's just going to do that. That's going to be something that's very consistent with him. He's going to be somebody that understands the playbook, and he's going to be the guy from the jump. And still, you know, he's not a guy that, oh, I can just double him, because you can't. You don't have to expect him to be double teamed, because George Kittle is that guy that teams have to double. So he's still going to have, you know, solid matchups. And I think he's somebody that's going to, you know, obviously hit the ground running with the playbook. And it looks like he's taking this offseason series. Now it's just, you know, do it all on the field. I think he can be a 1,000-yard receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if he had like 1,100 yards. And that's crazy because 49ers haven't had a lot of, you know, production out of receivers since like Anquan Boldin, but I think he can be that guy.
Man, I just always love hearing that name, dude. Anquan Boldin is one of my favorite receivers of all time. Like, there is no dude that is a better testament to like good route running and solid hands than Anquan Boldin. Obviously, he's a big dude. He's a buff dude. He was super tough. But like that dude probably towards the end of his career, maybe the last like 2, 3, 4 years, that dude probably ran like a 5.240. You know what I mean? Like he was not fast at all.
It was really, but he was, it was like 4.7 something. He really ran that.
No, I know. In the beginning of his career, I'm talking about the end of his career. Yeah. when he's an old ass man, and he's still just out there balling, because one, he had amazing hands and concentration, but two, he ran amazing routes. Like he would just create space, and it didn't matter. Like, you know, we're talking like a 5 second 40 versus of, you know, some of these corners in the NFL run like 4.2, 4.3 guys. And he's still just getting open and make, like, I always just loved watching him work because he was so smart and he was such a veteran dude, you know, definitely that third down guy. But I would struggle to think of a receiver that I have more respect for than the way Anquan Boldin played. Like, I just love, every time I hear that name, I'm like, hell yeah, man, Anquan Boldin. We're going to touch on one more thing, but we're already almost at the 30-minute mark. So before we go any further, I'm going to get a quick word in from our sponsors, and we are going to touch on that, and then we'll get back with some Jimmy Garoppolo talk. So first things first, everybody knows that the sports landscape out there is weird, but there is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back. And BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in their $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge. It's a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament that you can enter for free $99. Coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline is your online wagering solution. And in addition to BetOnline, we've got Blue Chew. Now, guys, if you're looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds, get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they're working. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend some time waiting in a pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once you're approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. All right, so one other little, I don't know, this is, it, I say it's like a moment of the week or, you know, a storyline of the week, something to talk about. But what came up again was, you know, the general just lingering disrespect for one James Garoppolo, which is, to me, I mean, we've talked about it so many times, but it's almost like it never gets old talking about it and like acknowledging how, I mean, in our opinions, stupid it is. Like, it's just pretty amazing that it keeps coming up. Kyle Juszczyk, fullback, met with the media today, and one of the things came up was Jimmy Garoppolo and how Kyle Juszczyk felt like he was almost like his bodyguard and that he always had to come to Garoppolo's defense for people that doubted what he's all about. And it's always been funny. Niners Nation tweeted the other day, like, you know, who do you feel is the most underrated player on the 49ers roster? And I tweeted, this was before Kyle Juszczyk, but I tweeted, I still feel like it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I still feel like for a quarterback that just goes out there and wins football games, and there was probably 3 or 4 or 5 games this year, this last season, that he was kind of like the main reason the 49ers won those games. For a guy that goes out and does that, has the record he has, absolute zero drama, everything you'd want from your quarterback, including the jawline. Like,
hold on, I won't say zero drama because some people might consider the, you know, the porn star thing a little drama. It's not drama in my eyes. I'd be happy to date a porn star for one night, but I'm saying people, they kind of made a bigger deal out of it than I would have made. So that's the only thing I'd say. Like, you know, if you don't want your quarterback kind of carrying himself that way, I can understand it a little bit, but I have no issues with it. But proceed.
Well, I mean, it's like, the dude's just doing his thing. Like, he didn't ask for somebody to take a picture with him. He didn't ever talk about, you know, he didn't ever say, hey, I'm out going out with this girl. But I get it. You know, people are going to recognize you. But, you know, that obviously that came and went in a hurry. You know, it's not like some storyline that lingered or something like that. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think, dude?
I think with Jimmy, when it comes to the, you know, I guess him being like underappreciated, I think it is more so not by 49er fans, but just like outside people. I think there are certain 49er people that kind of downplay him. This is what I think, kind of just after digesting the season, watching, you know, every game of his career, really. What I think he is, you know, I think he's a top 10 to 13 talented starting quarterback in the league. I think that he has an offensive coordinator that can elevate his play to that top 5 to 10 range. I don't think he's somebody that you typically would want to have to throw the ball around to win. I think that he is somebody that 100% can, but I don't think that's how you want to bank on him winning every game, which 49ers don't have to. They have a great running game. I think he can win you a Super Bowl. And I think that he will actually even play better than he played last year, which was really good for the most part. I think he'll have a more of a grasp on the offense. And I think he'll be even more efficient and cut down on the turnovers. So I think it's very disrespectful that how people, and this goes to like the underappreciated part where, you know, it's like every time there's a quarterback that's available, everybody compares that quarterback to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it's necessary. I think the 49ers have a really good thing with him. I think he's a guy that can win you a Super Bowl. And I think there could be a lot worse situations and a lot other quarterbacks that people can talk about who need to be replaced. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is one of them. So that's just kind of where I'm at with that. I don't think he's some uber talented quarterback, but I think he's definitely talented enough. And when you add the offensive coordinator, that elevates his game even more. And there shouldn't be any more issues or discussions about what or who Jimmy Garoppolo is. I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, too, like, could you, like, let's say the 49ers bit hard on the Tom Brady stuff and they wanted Tom Brady. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo was on the trade block, you'd have like 10 plus teams calling, blowing up the phone. And they would be willing to give up, my guess is, quite a bit more than what the 49ers gave up for him. And this is, you know, the 49ers gave up a second round pick for him. And that was when he was still kind of a bit of an unknown. And now the 49ers have paid him starting quarterback money. He's had a full season in which he took the team to the Super Bowl, or played his role in that. And I would expect there would be so many teams willing to give up quite a bit of money and draft capital to obtain one Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, it's just, I don't know where the standard is set. I think Richard Sherman put it best last season. Like, people just keep moving the goalpost for what a good quarterback is and where Jimmy Garoppolo fits into that mold, just to kind of keep the narrative going that for some reason he's not cutting it. But I can guarantee you there's probably over 10 teams that would love to get their hands on a Jimmy Garoppolo right now. You know, and teams that are drafting rookies that would love for them to develop into a Jimmy Garoppolo at any point within their rookie contract, you know, which is obviously Jimmy Garoppolo is nowhere near a rookie. But as far as starting games and playing in games, he's still in his rookie contract. Was this season, last season, his first full season as a starter?
Yeah.
I have to keep reminding myself that. You know what I mean? I'm not discounting. He's had a lot of experience. He spent time in one of the best locker rooms you could have under one of the best coaches of all time, under one of, if not the best quarterback of all time. You know, so obviously he's had a fair shake. It's not like Jimmy Garoppolo's had a rough go at it, but you know, the guy is still relatively inexperienced in the market of quarterbacks that are starting for NFL teams. And he's already shown quite a few good things. My favorite thing about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm right there with you, Croc. I think he's like maybe like a somewhere between like an 8 to 13 guy, you know, somewhere in there. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like I would take a top 8 to 13 at any position in the NFL and be totally stoked about it.
Especially like, quarterback.
Right. Yeah, the most important position that's out there. And
make arguments that he could be higher. I mean, because think about it, like, you know, if you're, you know, I said around, you know, 10 to 13. So it's like, okay, if he's at, you know, I'm just kind of going off of, like, my buddy just put out rankings in and had Jimmy at 13. And who he had over him at number 12, he had Cousins. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Cousins. At 11, he had Ben Roethlisberger. I think at this point in the career, I would rather have Garoppolo. And I think there's still, you know, value there with Roethlisberger, but I would rather have Garoppolo. At 10, he had Watson, which would probably be kind of shocking to some people, but I think that's about right for Watson. I think he, there's a lot of things that he does where, if you're asking me who would I rather have, Watson or Garoppolo in this offense, it's not as clear cut as I think most people would think, because I don't know. He doesn't play with much timing and rhythm. he's more of an off script type guy and then throws a deep ball extremely well, which so he has the big splashy plays, obviously he can make plays with his legs, but depending on, you know, what Kyle Shanahan wants, I could see why he might lean more towards like a guy like Garoppolo, but I could be wrong there. And then there's guys like Carson Wentz. You know, he's hurt a lot. You know, he hasn't won that playoff game. So, you know, that's another guy that you could possibly – no, he's more talented, like with natural arm talent, athletic ability, mobility, all that type of stuff. But, you know, would you rather have him or – and you kind of have to look at it with offensive coordinators too, I guess. Would you rather have Wentz in our offense or Jimmy Garoppolo? Depends what version of Wentz you're getting. So there's arguments that could be made to where you he is a top – you know, eight type guy, you know, so that's kind of my spill on that.
Well, and one of my favorite Jimmy Garoppolo traits, if you will, or, you know, things he's shown us throughout the season is I love, and obviously I don't like the fact that he has some of those Jimmy Garoppolo throws where you're like, whoa, what the hell was that? And like, you know, should have been picked off, was picked off. What were you looking at? How did you not see that? You know, that kind of stuff. Obviously no one wants that. And it happens to every quarterback. But what I do like is the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is at his best after one of those moments. Like, right. he played his best after he threw picks and after he made a mistake, which is like, dude, I don't think there's people out there that realize how valuable of a commodity that is in an athlete, professional athlete, period. Like, the ability to make a mistake, a big mistake, under the brightest of lights in front of millions of people, and then go out and play better after the fact. Like, that is one of the most valuable assets you can ask for in an athlete. Like, everybody's going to make mistakes. Every single player, every single game, they're going to make mistakes. But obviously, you know what I'm about to say. How do you respond to those mistakes? What do you do next? That you do you elevate or do you crumble? Do you curl up? You know what I mean? And the fact that somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo, who knows he's under a brighter spotlight because people aren't really sure what he is yet, for the fact that he's can do those things and then come out and shine brighter is important. You know, like, I mean, important isn't even a good word there. It's like, it's crucial. You know, you want to know that your quarterback can throw an interception and Kyle Shanahan can say to Jimmy Garoppolo on the sideline, look, we're going to keep throwing the ball. We're going to throw it a lot next drive. Be ready to roll. And he will be is like, it's essential. Like, it doesn't get much more important than that. So that's like my favorite Jimmy Garoppolo quality is that, yes, you would like him to not make those mistakes whatsoever or make less of them. But the fact that he rebounds so well from those mistakes is one of my, like, my favorite things. Like, he just, you know.
And that's an elite trait in itself.
It is. 100% elite trait. Like,
and something that can definitely change, that can separate guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ability to kind of bounce back and really be kind of stone cold in most moments, that's something that really separates guys, where you see some guys kind of tank it late in the games where they just can't get out. Kirk Cousins, for example, that's the reason why he can't, you know, he's never, well, outside of the one playoff game, he hasn't really won that big game over his career. His record against playoff teams is like terrible. You know, he crumbled against the 49ers. Like, we've seen that far too often from him. And that's something that Jimmy Garoppolo, for the most part throughout his career, has kind of stayed away from. There's been a couple games where it's like, you know, the Seahawks game in that first one had a lot of drops, but you saw some throws late that you probably wouldn't like to see from him. Same with the Super Bowl late in the game where maybe he got a little tight, pressed a little bit, and, you know, we saw him kind of miss some throws. But for the most part, Jimmy Garoppolo was pretty ice cold after making mistakes.
Well, and the funny thing is with me too is a lot of people will talk about that deep throw to Emmanuel Sanders like – that is some defining moment for now. Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly, you know, like, difficult moment to overcome, and he's going to have to outlive that. But at the same time, like, dude, you're talking about a deep ball, like, into, like, double coverage, and Emmanuel Sanders had a step on him, and it's like, deep throws are, like, they're called low percentage throws. Like, they just don't happen that often. And obviously hitting that throw in that moment would have, you know, could have put the 49ers over the top. Who knows? But it's just like, just don't be one of those people that uses that one little microcosm of a play as a reason for the fact that, oh, see, Jimmy Garoppolo is not clutch. He's not, you know, he's suspect because he missed that throw late in the Super Bowl, you know, with the game on the line. Like, oh, shit, man, if missing a throw with the game on the line is your defining attribute for your quarterback, then you're going to have nobody left. Because every quarterback's missed big throws with games on the line or wasn't able to come through with in a game-winning drive or what have you. Russell Wilson's the most clutch quarterback on the planet, and he's done it plenty of times. Threw an interception in the Super Bowl to lose from the one-yard line. You know what I mean? Like, is anybody out here? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is not on the same planet as Russell Wilson, but you know, the whole not making a clutch throw in a clutch moment is an attribute for every quarterback. You know, it's just, I guess it's a matter of how often they do it, but it's just funny, man. Like I said, there are so many teams out there that would love to have themselves a Jimmy G right now. And I think the 49ers can, and I think they're telling the truth when they say that they took a hard look at at Tom Brady, and they went down and they broke the, and taking a hard look at Tom Brady is what prompted them to take an even harder look at Jimmy Garoppolo. And they came away with, look, we might already have the answer right here. And that's what they believe. They feel they have the answer in the building. And I 100% believe that's what they did, because that's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to. Like, one, if you're signing up for Tom Brady, you know you're getting 2, maybe 3 years max. I mean, maybe he keeps going for some weird, crazy reason. But, you know, when you're looking for the answer for a long term, and you've already got a guy that you think could be that's young and is, you know, building experience in your offense, then you don't go away from that. You know, unless Jimmy Garoppolo starts showing off some qualities that you, you know, are unredeemable, you know, Mitch Trubisky's type stuff, then you got your guy and you just keep trying to build around him and you keep trying to grow with him and let him build that comfort level in the system and the confidence, and then you roll. And I think this season is going to be pretty fun. I mean, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and who knows who else we're going to get in that little receiving core. You know, obviously Kendrick Bourne, shouldn't be sleeping on him because he seems like he's working his ass off. And, you know, maybe Trent Taylor comes out of this healthy and he's ready to put his stamp on this offense. You know, maybe Jalen Hurd comes back from that back injury ready to roll, and he comes out and just starts dominating, because he's a guy that could be a huge X factor too. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things that could go the way of the 49ers this year. If you're trying to be positive, glass half full, that could really set that offense on fire. You know, but I think we've probably taken ourselves out of the running of breaking down the 49ers roster on offense. I think we've Jimmy Garoppolo'd ourselves into pushing the breakdown of the 49ers offensive players and positions to next week, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's gonna be a long off season, so you know, we have time to get all that squared away, and
right,
that just gives us more content, right, for the upcoming weeks.
right. And so hopefully, you know, you guys aren't mad at me right now for, because we're already coming up on 50 minutes, you know, and it, breaking down a whole half of the roster at this point would probably push us a little further than the old Blue Wire CEO Kevin Jones wants us to be. But hopefully you still felt it was time well spent. I'm still getting people constantly after every episode, not constantly, but after every episode, we get people hitting us up on Twitter saying that they loved it. They enjoyed watching it, you know, having their own comments on the episode and their own thoughts and feelings. And, you know, we encourage you guys to do that. You can find me on Twitter at @Rob_Louder, LOWDER. And then you can find Crocker at @Eric_Crocker. And like I said, hit us up. Tell us you listened. Tell us whether you liked it or not. Give us your thoughts, feelings on the subject. Tell us how much you love or don't love Jimmy Garoppolo. Any of that stuff, man, because we're always down. We're always on there Twittering, perusing the base. So you got anything else there, Arkansas boy?
Nah, I think that's good.
Dude, that's
probably comment and be like, Croc, that doesn't sound like an Arkansas. That sounds like you're from Australia.
All right, mate. You get a little shrimp on the. Never mind. I'm gonna stop. But, I don't want to go on with that too many. It should have probably stopped before it began. But anyways, no, I think it's pretty good, dude. I think it's a solid little Southern accent, and the more you live there. I hope it starts creeping into the podcast, because that would just make me happy.
Nah, so. It won't. I'll make sure that I go home often, make sure I get away from there, so I don't get that whole Arkansas little swing.
What would be like the best? One last thing before we jet out of here. What would be like? What's something about Arkansas you're looking forward to the most?
I think just getting my degree, and my wife finishing up her RN. You know, those are things that my wife especially has been working hard towards for the last couple years, really, going back to school and working towards that. And then for me, when I had left to play pro ball, my grandma, I made a promise to her that I would finish and get my degree. And that was one thing she always reminded me. And it's in the newspaper. Whoever I was talking to, it's in the actual newspaper, and she saved it. So I think the thing I'm looking most forward to is really walking across the stage. And my wife would be getting her bachelor's as well. And I think just walking across the stage with her, we'll be back to back. It'd be me first and then her. And I think for our kids to see that and my family, I think that's something. And I'll be the first person from my family to graduate. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Well, damn, man, that was like a way more emotional and honest answer than I was expecting. I thought you were going to say like the Southern food or the different weather or something. And you're like, man, getting my degree and being the first person in my family to graduate, doing it for my grandma. And I'm like, damn, that is a way better answer.
Well, I don't really like think about those things, but like, when you ask me and it's like, hey, what are you looking for? And it's like, that's a good question. And those are the things I'm looking forward to, man. Walking across the stage with my wife, my kids, they get to see that. And my grandma, man, like, I'm telling you, she reminds me all the time. You said you're going to go back to school. Like, I don't know how many more years left I have to live. Like, she said that to me. So I'm excited to, I think that's what I'm really most excited. What I'm not excited about, the humidity.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, dude, when we were out there a few days ago unloading the truck, we got the little pod thing shipped out there, and we met it out there, and we unloaded the truck. It was probably about 70 degrees, and I kid you not, and I'm not a sweaty person at all. I'm not a sweaty person at all. I'm not. My shorts were drenched. You would have thought that I sat in a puddle. Like, that's how sweaty I was. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why it's the humidity, but it just does something to you, man. Like, the moment you step outside, you just feel like you need to take a shower. So, yeah.
Hearing you say that is crazy, because that was my biggest, like, WTF moment from basic training. Obviously, I joke about the fact that I started to sound like I was, from the South. But when I traveled there, I got in an airplane, I got to the airport, I got off the airplane, I went into the airport in Kansas, and all of that, you never really have to go outside, because that thing comes straight up to the airplane and docks you with it, and you just walk straight into the airport, air conditioning, whatever. And then I walked briefly outside, got in a van, took me to, where I needed to be. But when I stepped out of that van, a bus for basic training, I felt like somebody had a soaking wet towel and they just slapped me in the face, soaking wet hot towel, and they just slapped me in the face with it. Like, I had never felt humidity like that. It was like 85 degrees and like 90% humidity. And yeah. I was literally said out loud. I was like, what the F is this?
No, listen. Funny story for you, those of you that are still listening. our first day in pads, my junior year, the first day in the helmets, it got so hot. So it was like 105 degrees, but with the heat index, it tells you how hot it feels. And it says that it feels like it's 118 degrees. So we're out there, practicing with our helmets and all our gear on and stuff and whatnot. And I kid you not, by the end of practice, all they had on was a helmet and their compression shorts underneath underneath their shorts. Pretty much people running around naked with cleats on. I mean, it was so hot, and to the point where I even told my brother after practice, and actually I made my mind up during practice that I was going back home to California. I said, mm-hmm. I made my mind up, I'm going home. My brother said, nah, man, just stick it out. Like, it can't get any worse than that. And he was right. It never got worse than that. But that day was so bad. It was so terrible. It, got full body cramps. I mean, I had to get three IVs. Dude, it was that humidity, man. It's different. But I'll tell you one thing that where it did help, for whatever reason, my skin was always clear. So
moisture, man.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, we've wandered off topic. But I mean, yeah, the humidity was mind blowing. If you don't know this, I mean, me and Crocker are both from the Central Valley. So it's, you know, it gets really, really hot here, but it's completely dry. There's very little humidity and it's completely flip flop there. The humidity, the percentage of humidity sometimes is higher than the temperature and it makes it just feel like suffocating. Like, you know, man, I mean, I had to wear, Croc was in football stuff. I was in full military gear. You know, you can take a shower and you can literally step out the door for less than 60 seconds and you feel like you need a shower again. Like it's unreal until your body gets used to it. And that's what you're used to. But in that transition time, it is brutal. But anyways, we love you guys. Thank you for listening to our weird stories and our weird accounts from our personal lives. Thanks to you for sticking around this long. We appreciate you guys. Wouldn't be able to have the Track and Gold podcast without you. But that's it for another week. As far as now, the plan is next week, we're going to come at you with a roster breakdown. We'll start breaking down the 90-man roster, where the heated competitions are and who we expect to be making an impact next season. But I appreciate you guys. And for another week, this is Striking Gold signing out.